This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Welcome to Season 3 of Ask Us Anything, where popular science tackles the questions and conundrums that keep you up at night, like whether or not stress can actually kill you, what space smells like, and where hangovers come from. I'm Rob Verger, the technology editor here at PopSci, and I'll be your host for today.
And I'm producer Jess Bodie. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back, Jess.
Yeah.
Last time I was on, we talked about supercars. It was a lot of fun.
It was great.
Yeah. This time we're going to talk about things that go even faster than supercars, which are airplanes.
Nice.
And yeah, it's going to be fun. Specifically, we're going to be pondering, how do they actually fly? And it might sound like a simple question or maybe even a silly one, but I bet most of our listeners have never really thought about it. And the answer is a lot more complex than you might think.
Yeah. I mean, myself included, like when this was pitched, I was like, yeah, I have no idea what the answer is to this. So I'm glad we have you to tackle it for us. And word on the street is that this is like pretty much your favorite subject.
It totally is. It really is. I make no secret of that.
Yeah.
I love it. And, you know, I'm not a pilot, but I love getting the chance to fly in different kinds of airplanes. And my grandfather was actually a pilot for Eastern Airlines for decades.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, an airline that doesn't exist anymore. And he flew aircraft like the L-1011, which is a jet that had three engines, one under each wing and one in the tail. And I actually had the chance to fly in a similar one last year, which is a KC-10, which is another three-engine jet that refuels other planes for the Air Force. And I've also gotten to fly in a Coast Guard helicopter and even strap into an F-16. So I've been really fortunate to have a lot of cool experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely remember the F-16 saga. That was incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like the topic goes really deep for you.
Yeah, it really does. And I'm eager to explain to you how these giant machines stay airborne. I think it's really cool. But before we're totally cleared for takeoff on this podcast, I think we might need to take a quick ad break.
We do. We do. And we'll be back in just a minute.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
And we're back.
All right. So now that we're safely at our cruising altitude, I feel like I can switch off the fasten seatbelt sign and get right into it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, let's do it. So today we're going to be asking a question that I'm sure lots of listeners have wondered about and that even more have never stopped to ask, which is, how do planes fly? So to start with a simple idea, imagine that you're in an airliner that's flying at a steady speed through the air, and it isn't changing altitude or anything. That's called being in equilibrium, or in a trimmed state. And a couple forces are at play, and they're all canceling each other out. So Jess, do you want to take a stab at what those are?
Yeah, sure. So I guess the plane is heavy, so there's its weight to consider, and then there's also maybe friction with the air around it, so there's like drag, and I'm sure there's many more that I am not thinking of right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it, actually. Or you got most of them.
Okay, sick.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So the lift from the plane's wings cancels out the weight of the aircraft. So we've got lift, you know, helping it stay in the air, and the weight. So those two things are canceling each other out. And the thrust from the engines cancels out the drag of the air. And when all those forces are balanced, the plane is in a steady state. That's when the flight attendants can walk around and bring you snacks and stuff, as long as the turbulence isn't too bad.
Nice. Okay, that seems pretty simple enough.
Yeah, and unfortunately, though, with aviation, things frequently get pretty complex pretty quickly, and that's the case here.
Okay.
Because for one thing, you know, we talked about how the engines make thrust so that the plane can push forward through the air, but some aircraft don't even have engines. They're gliders, and they still definitely fly.
Oh, boy. So you might say things are starting to get bumpy on this flight.
They are a little bit, but But that's okay. We're going to keep flying.
Okay, excellent.
Because now it's time to talk about the big question, which is, how do airplane wings even produce that lifting force in the first place?
You know, I would ask if it's magic, but I have a feeling perhaps it's not.
It totally is magic. The end.
What?
We figured it out. The episode's over.
That was a lot easier than I thought, Rob.
Totally. See you later.
Okay, what's the truth? What's the truth?
Okay, so sorry. I would like to let you know that I have spoken with 4 different experts about this topic, including the head of Purdue University's School of Aeronautics and Astronautics, as well as an aerospace engineer at NASA. And I can tell you that now I kind of understand it.
Huh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm getting there. But
yeah.
Anyway, I'll just jump right into it and tell you, you know, I also spoke with a professor of aerodynamics at the University of Cambridge named Holger Babinski. And
what a great name.
Totally. And I asked him if he could explain, you know, just one part of how a wing works in a pithy sentence. And his answer was, and I quote, "I can't."
So, at least he's honest.
Yeah. And I think that point speaks to the fact that it's really complex and it's hard to distill into just a short soundbite. And he says that when he's really describing how it all works, he likes to have about an hour and do demonstrations and stuff. And I know that we don't have that much time, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we got about 12 minutes, but we can continue.
Yeah. So, that, you know, having said that, the other thing to know about this topic is there's a lot of misconceptions about it. And NASA has a couple web pages simply devoted to quote unquote incorrect theories on flight.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, maybe you're procrastinating a little bit on what we're actually getting into, Rob.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'll just tell you what I know.
Okay. Okay.
So, let's do a quick thought experiment. Imagine, Jess, that you're riding in a car, which if I remember, what's the kind of car that you have? We talked about this before.
Yeah, I drive a Ford Escape.
Okay, so imagine you're driving your Ford Escape and, or maybe you're riding in a car, that would be safer.
Sure.
And you stick your hand out the window, and if you orient your hand flat and parallel to the ground, you'll feel the wind push it back, but not much else. And then if you angle your hand up a little bit in the front, you'll feel it get some lift. And the air is striking the bottom of your hand and changing direction somewhat. And in a Newtonian sense, the opposite reaction to that is that your hand moves upward some.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that actually makes sense. And I am sitting here at my desk moving my hand around.
Yeah. It's a pretty easy way to start visualizing things. And, you know, of course, your hand isn't shaped exactly like a wing, of course, but it's a fun thing to think about and it makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So How is a wing shaped? And then how does that change this equation?
Yeah, it's a good question. So wings make a specific shape, you know, if you look at them in cross section, that's called an airfoil. And their main job, as we've discussed, is to make lift. So when air hits the front of the wing, some of it goes above and some of it goes below, just like the air going around your hand when you stick it out the window of a car.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and when you take a closer look at an airfoil, you'll see some really cool things are happening. So the air that goes above the wing actually changes direction a bit because it wants to follow the curved shape of the wing. Professor Babinski at the University of Cambridge mentioned to me that there's a fun experiment you can do at home to show this process, which is if you take a hairdryer and you aim it at the curved edge of a bucket, the air will attach to the side of the bucket and make a turn.
Oh.
Yeah, and our executive editor, Rachel Feltman, also mentioned that Dyson, the company most people know for their vacuums, actually harnessed that same principle when designing a couple of their hair styling devices. So
yeah.
They use curved devices to change how their blow dryers work.
Totally. That's wild. My friend has the Dyson Airwrap, and I've tried it out for myself, and that makes complete sense with like the curving and all that stuff.
Yeah, and science is everywhere. It's great.
It really is. It really is.
Okay, so back to the planes. So on the top of the wing, the air turns and follows the curve, and an area of low pressure forms up there. And the other thing that happens is the air moving over the upper part of the wing increases in velocity. So if you are able to see particles of air move over the top of the wing and the bottom, some of the particles on top would actually reach the trailing edge of the wing before the ones on the bottom do.
Okay, and I assume that that is important.
Yeah, so all of what I've just said is important. And
okay.
So to kind of like summarize it for you, the end result of the way the air moves over the wing is that a low pressure area forms on top of it and a high pressure area forms below it.
Okay, cool. Low pressure. I like that. It seems chill.
Yeah, it's very chill.
Yeah.
And it's useful because having the low pressure above and the higher pressure below is what causes the lift.
Okay, wow. So is the wing being more pushed up by the high pressure below it or pulled up by the low pressure above?
That's a great question. And the work is split. So the upper part of the wing does most of the work. And experts say that it's something like 2/3 sucking upwards while the rest is a push from below.
Oh.
Yeah. So just think of it as there's a pressure differential between the top and the bottom, and that causes the lift.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And there's also lots of different kinds of wings depending on what kind of aircraft they're attached to. So planes that go faster than the speed of sound, like fighter jets, have different wings from what a commercial airliner has, for example.
Yeah. Okay. That also makes a ton of sense. Like, I can picture that, I think. But anyway, since we're running out of time, do you think you could tie it all together for us?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So here we go. When you've got a plane like a commercial airliner and it's in stable flight, the lift from the wings is canceling out its weight, and the thrust from the engines is canceling out the drag force. And the lift on the wings comes courtesy of their distinctive shape and the way they manipulate the air as it passes over them, kind of like when you stick your hand out the window of a moving car. The end result is a lower pressure area above the wings than below, as well as faster moving air over the top, and that pressure differential gives you lift.
Yeah, okay, that's so cool. I love that that actually does make sense to my brain, and I'm totally going to think about that the next time I fly.
Yeah, me too. It's the kind of thing you look out the window and you appreciate it for a second, and then maybe you just close your eyes and take a nap.
Yeah, I love that. I'm also a plane napper.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay, let's bring the podcast in for touchdown. Am I cleared to land?
Yes, you definitely are. You officially have landing clearance. Thank you so much for having me on board, Jess. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, you really brought me around on these puns. I don't know how you did it. But yeah, thanks for coming on the pod. I know you have a choice of podcast to fly on. So thanks for choosing Ask Us Anything.
You're welcome, Jess.
Got a question for the editors at Popular Science? Send an email to ask@popsci.com. Ask Us Anything is produced by the editors of Popular Science. This episode was written and reported by Rob Verger, and editing and audio engineering was by me, Jess Bodie. Big thanks to Billy Cadden for writing our theme song, and to Katie Beloff for creating our logo. If you like our show, consider rating it on Apple Podcasts and leaving a review. It helps us out a lot. For more PopSci audio content, be sure to check out our sibling podcast, The Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week. Thanks for listening.